Welcome back to Mbaga Media, Tech Talk. Today, we're diving into a topic that's always a bit contentious, software rebrands. They rarely get a standing ovation, right? More often than not, they're met with groans, eye rolls, and a healthy dose of internet outrage, especially when it's a tool we've relied on for years.
Oh, absolutely. It feels like a betrayal sometimes, doesn't it? Especially when it's a piece of software that's become almost like an old friend to a specific community. And that's exactly what happened when Audacity, the beloved audio editing software, decided it was time for a makeover.
Exactly. The moment they unveiled their new logo, the internet, as it's wont to do, got, well, a little worked up. And let's be honest, there's really no two ways about it. The new logo is, to put it mildly, pretty bad. The font itself is nice. I'll give them that, clean, modern, legible.
But that headphone icon? Oh boy. It's a bewildering, almost abstract take on the familiar symbol. It's the kind of redesign that makes you scratch your head and wonder what the designers were thinking. Reactions ranged from mild confusion to outright derision.
Some folks quipped that it looked like someone had stepped on the Apple Music icon, while others were in a rather existential debate, trying to decide if their new logo resembled a sperm. And the consensus? For many, it was a resounding, if slightly uncomfortable, yes. It's rough, jarring, and certainly wasn't the warm embrace the company might have hoped for.
I know what you might be thinking, terrible logo? That's it? That's the story? But here's the thing, if you can manage to get past the branding kerfuffle, if you can squint and look beyond that, let's just call it challenging new icon. Audacity 4 actually looks like it's shaping up to be a much-needed, and frankly, pretty significant upgrade.
That's the real story, isn't it? The one that's going to matter to the people who actually use this software day in and day out. It lies not in the aesthetics of a logo, but in the functionality under the hood. We're talking about Audacity 4, a version that promises to address some long-standing frustrations and introduce a host of improvements.
These improvements could genuinely make the audio editing experience smoother, more intuitive, and more powerful. The details come largely from a rather extensive, nearly hour-long video posted by Martin Currie, the VP of Product at Muse, the company behind Audacity. He dives deep into the challenges and the thought process.
And most importantly, the exciting developments slated for version 4, which is projected for release in early 2026. While the logo might be the immediate, and admittedly loud, talking point, the substance of this update is about making Audacity a better tool for its users. That's where our focus needs to be.
One of the most significant areas of improvement, and something Currie highlights as a major focus, is minimizing what he calls Audacity says no. Now, this is a phrase that will likely resonate deeply with anyone who has spent a decent amount of time wrestling with complex software.
Audacity says no refers to those moments, those inexplicable roadblocks, where the software simply refuses to let you do something. It's not just a gentle suggestion, it's a hard stop. And often, these limitations come with little to no explanation. You're left staring at a pop-up message, or perhaps just a silent refusal of your command.
Currie provides some rather illuminating examples of these frustrating encounters. Imagine you're working with audio clips, and you try to drag one clip past another. In older versions of Audacity, it would often hit an invisible wall, a digital brick wall, and refuse to budge.
Right? No, you can't move it there. Or perhaps you've copied a clip, and you want to paste it into your project, but there isn't quite enough empty space, not enough runway, as it were, for the paste operation to complete. Again, Audacity says no.
And it's not just about moving or pasting. Even something as seemingly simple as selecting multiple clips could, in certain contexts, be met with the same frustrating limitation. These aren't minor inconveniences, they're fundamental interruptions to a creative workflow. They break your flow, kill your momentum.
They can leave you feeling like you're fighting against the software rather than working with it. Have you ever found yourself in a similar situation with a piece of software, where it just refuses to do what you intuitively want it to do? It's a universal frustration, and it's exactly what the Audacity team is setting out to fix.
The good news is that the team has a clear strategy to dismantle these digital roadblocks. Cleaning up this user experience involves a fundamental rethinking of how the user interface behaves and how users can interact with their audio. One of the key changes is in how operations like pasting are handled.
Instead of hitting that brick wall, Audacity 4 is designed to be more accommodating. For instance, if you paste a clip over an existing audio segment, it will now automatically trim the incoming clip to fit, or perhaps the existing audio, rather than just refusing the operation. This might sound small, but it's a massive shift in user experience.
It means less manual adjustment and more fluid editing. Furthermore, they are getting rid of a bunch of those restrictive modes that historically limited what you could do within the software. These modes could often be confusing and unnecessarily restrictive.
By removing these, the interaction becomes more direct and intuitive. Beyond these core behavioral changes, Audacity 4 is also introducing some highly practical new features. You'll now find meters for individual tracks, which is a godsend for anyone working with multiple audio sources.
Trimming and time-stretching audio clips are also becoming significantly easier. You can now simply click and drag the edge of a clip to adjust its length or duration. And for those moments when you need to precisely cut out unwanted sections or make fine adjustments, a new split tool is being introduced.
These are the kinds of functional enhancements that truly make a difference in the day-to-day use of an audio editor. Now, as with any significant software update, there are often features that are removed or changed, and this can sometimes be a point of contention for long-time users. One such feature that's being retired in Audacity 4 is Sync Lock.
For those who aren't deeply familiar with audio editing, Sync Lock was a feature intended to help keep multiple audio tracks aligned in time. However, from the perspective of many users, myself included, it was often a confusing mess. Trying to work with and keep multiple audio tracks perfectly in sync is, let's face it, one of the most challenging aspects of audio production.
It requires precision, careful management, and a clear understanding of how your tracks relate to each other temporally. The old sync lock approach, while well-intentioned, didn't always provide that clarity. The Audacity team, in their pursuit of a more intuitive experience, has opted for a different approach in version 4.
While the specifics of this new method aren't exhaustively detailed, the implication is that it will make more sense to the user, offering a clearer path to achieving synchronized multi-track audio. It's about streamlining a complex process, making it less of a headache and more of a manageable task.
This move, while potentially upsetting to a small subset of users who had mastered the old system, is likely to be a net positive for the vast majority who found Sync Lock to be more of an obstacle than a help. Have you ever found yourself grappling with syncing multiple audio or video tracks? It's a real challenge, and finding a software solution that handles it gracefully is a huge win.
Beyond these specific functional improvements and the handling of existing features, Audacity 4 is also set to receive a significant overhaul in its overall user interface. The goal here is to create an environment that is not only more powerful but also more pleasant and efficient to work within.
The interface is being designed to be more customizable, allowing users to tailor their workspace to their specific needs and preferences. This is crucial because, as any power user knows, a well-organized and personalized interface can dramatically speed up your workflow. Coupled with this customization is a decidedly more modern design aesthetic.
Gone, presumably, will be some of the older, perhaps slightly dated visual elements, replaced by a cleaner, more contemporary look. And importantly, this modernization extends to readability. A user interface that is easy on the eyes, with clear typography and well-defined visual hierarchy, is essential for long editing sessions.
The article suggests that this new interface will be much easier to read, reducing eye strain and improving overall usability. When you combine all these elements, the elimination of frustrating limitations, the streamlining of core editing tasks, the more intuitive approach to multi-track synchronization, and the cleaner, more customizable interface, Audacity 4 looks like it's genuinely shaping up to be a major, transformative step forward.
It's the kind of update that could breathe new life into a beloved piece of software, making it more accessible to newcomers while also delighting experienced users with its enhanced capabilities and improved workflow. It's the functional heart of the software that truly matters, the engine that powers creativity.
And from what we're seeing, that engine is getting a serious upgrade. So, where does that leave us with the logo? Well, it's still a choice. A bold, perhaps even brave, choice, but a choice that has clearly missed the mark with a significant portion of its user base.
It's a stark reminder that while good design is important, bad design, especially when it's attached to something familiar and cherished, can create unnecessary friction. The hope, and it's a sentiment echoed in the article and likely by many users, is that the Audacity team will revisit the branding.
Perhaps they'll take another look, refine it, or even revert to something closer to the original, before the proper release of Audacity 4 in 2026. Because while a great logo can certainly enhance a product's appeal, it's the robust functionality, the intuitive design, and the seamless user experience that truly build loyalty and make a piece of software indispensable.
And on those fronts, Audacity 4 is looking pretty darn great, even if you have to squint a little to get past the icon. It's a testament to the idea that sometimes, the most important improvements are the ones you can't immediately see, but you can definitely feel in your workflow.
And that's the core of it, isn't it? The logo is the shiny wrapper, the first thing that catches your eye. It's the handshake, the first impression. And in this case, that handshake felt a bit clammy. It felt like a corporate mandate dropped from on high, disconnected from the actual community that has poured countless hours into this software.
It's the kind of thing that makes you wonder if the people making the decisions are actually using the product they're rebranding. Because if they were, surely they'd understand the visceral reaction to something so fundamentally off. Think about it, when you've spent years with a tool, it becomes an extension of your own creative process.
You develop muscle memory, you have shortcuts etched into your brain, you have a certain familiarity, a comfort level. And then, bam. A new logo, a new icon, that feels alien, that looks like it belongs to a completely different company, maybe even a different industry, and it's jarring. It's like walking into your kitchen one morning and finding all your familiar appliances have been replaced with sleek, minimalist, and utterly unintuitive substitutes.
You might appreciate the aesthetic, but can you actually cook with them? The sperm comparison, while crude, speaks to a deeper issue, a perceived lack of understanding of what Audacity means to its users. It's not just an audio editor, for many, it's the gateway into audio production.
It's the tool that allowed hobbyists, independent musicians, podcasters on a shoestring budget, to create professional-sounding work without breaking the bank. It's democratized audio. And a logo that feels so detached, so corporate, so wrong, can feel like a rejection of that legacy, that community. It's like saying, we're moving on, and you, our loyal users, are a bit of an afterthought.
And this is where the contrast with the actual update becomes so stark. While the internet was busy debating the biological implications of the new icon, the team was quietly, diligently, working on making the software itself fundamentally better. They were addressing pain points that have been around for years, issues that have caused countless hours of frustration.
It's a classic case of the visible versus the invisible, the superficial versus the substantial. Let's circle back to that phrase, Audacity says no dot. It's such a perfect encapsulation of a common software frustration. You're in the zone, you have a clear idea of what you want to achieve, and the software just stops you.
It's not a suggestion, it's an absolute, unyielding, digital decree. And the lack of explanation is often the most maddening part. It's like asking for directions and being told, you can't go there, with no further information. You're left to reverse engineer the software's internal logic, to guess at what arcane rule you've just violated.
Kiri's examples are so relatable. The inability to drag a clip past another. This is something that feels so basic, so fundamental to editing. You'd expect to be able to rearrange your audio elements with the fluidity of a painter moving strokes on a canvas. Instead, you hit an invisible barrier, a digital do not enter sign.
Or the pasting issue needing just that tiny bit more space, and the software refusing to accommodate. It's like trying to slide a piece of furniture into a room, and the doorway is just a centimeter too narrow, and instead of being able to nudge something else aside, you're just told, nope, not happening.
These aren't just minor bugs, they're fundamental limitations in the user experience. They interrupt the creative flow, which is arguably the most precious commodity for any creator. When you're in a state of flow, ideas are coming, your hands are moving, and the software is supposed to be a seamless extension of your mind.
When it starts saying no, it pulls you out of that state, forces you to stop, to think about the software's limitations rather than your creative vision. It's a mental speed bump, and for complex projects, those speed bumps can add up, turning an enjoyable process into a chore.
The proposed solution, the idea of the software being more accommodating, is a game changer. The automatic trimming on paste is a brilliant example. Instead of a hard stop, it's a graceful adjustment. It acknowledges the user's intent and makes a reasonable compromise.
This isn't about dumbing down the software, it's about making it smarter, more context-aware, and more user-friendly. It's about shifting from a system of rigid rules to one of intelligent flexibility. And the removal of restrictive modes? This is another huge win.
How many times have you been in a particular mode in a piece of software, only to realize you need to perform an action that's not allowed in that mode? Then you have to switch modes, potentially losing your context, or worse, you have to completely rethink your approach. By making operations more direct and intuitive, Audacity 4 is essentially saying, "We trust you to know what you want to do, and we're going to make it as easy as possible for you to do it."
These are the kinds of improvements that don't necessarily grab headlines, but they are the bedrock of a good user experience. They are the things that make you say, "Wow, this is so much easier now," without necessarily being able to pinpoint exactly why. It's the collective impact of these small, but significant, changes that truly elevate a piece of software.
The individual track meters, for instance. This might seem like a minor detail to someone who only works with a single voiceover. But for anyone working with multiple instruments, multiple vocal tracks, or even just trying to balance dialogue with sound effects, this is essential. Being able to see and control the levels of each individual element at a glance is a huge time saver.
It's a critical component of achieving a polished mix. It's about giving users the granular control they need without overwhelming them. And the simplified trimming and time stretching. Again, these are core editing functions. Being able to simply click and drag the edge of a clip to adjust its length or duration is incredibly intuitive.
It mirrors how many of us intuitively think about manipulating audio: you grab the end, you pull it shorter or longer. The new split tool is similarly practical. Sometimes you just need to make a clean cut, and having a dedicated, easy-to-access tool for that makes the process so much smoother. It's about removing the friction from repetitive, yet crucial, tasks.
Now, the retirement of sync lock. This is where we see the team making tough decisions, and it's important to acknowledge that. As Carey himself points out, sync lock was often a source of confusion. The goal of keeping tracks aligned is noble, but the execution, for many, was problematic.
The article mentions that the new approach isn't exhaustively detailed, but the implication is that it's more user-centric, more transparent. Think about the challenges of multi-track recording. You have multiple microphones, multiple takes, and the goal is to have everything line up perfectly. Even with good recording practices, there are often slight timing discrepancies.
Software solutions are meant to help you bridge those gaps. But if the solution itself is a puzzle, it defeats the purpose. By removing sync lock and presumably implementing a more straightforward method, they are aiming to make the process of synchronization less of a technical hurdle and more of a creative decision.
It's about making a complex task more manageable, which is the essence of good software design. This might irk the few who had truly mastered the old sync lock, but for the vast majority, it's likely to be a welcome simplification. And this brings us to the broader UI and UX overhaul.
A modern, customizable interface is not just about looking pretty, it's about efficiency. As users, we all have our preferred ways of working. Some people like all their toolbars visible, others prefer a minimalist setup. The ability to customize your workspace, to arrange panels and tools in a way that makes sense for your workflow, is incredibly powerful.
It reduces the need to constantly search for functions, to navigate through menus, and allows you to keep your focus on the audio itself. The mention of a more modern design aesthetic and improved readability is also significant. Long editing sessions can be taxing on the eyes.
Software that is visually clean, with clear typography and a logical layout, reduces eye strain and fatigue. It makes the entire experience more pleasant. It's the difference between working in a cluttered, fluorescent-lit office and a well-designed, ergonomic workspace.
When you synthesize all these elements, the elimination of those frustrating Audacity says no moments, the streamlining of core editing tasks like pasting and trimming, the more intuitive approach to synchronization, and the promise of a cleaner, more customizable interface, Audacity 4 starts to look like a genuinely transformative update. It's not just an incremental improvement, it's a reimagining of the user experience.
It's the kind of update that can reignite enthusiasm for a product. For existing users, it's a chance to work more efficiently and with less frustration. For new users, it lowers the barrier to entry, making a powerful tool more accessible. It's about making Audacity not just a free audio editor, but a great audio editor.
One that can compete with, and in some areas surpass, its paid counterparts, not just on price, but on functionality and user experience. And that's why the logo, while a valid point of discussion and certainly a misstep, ultimately fades into the background when you consider the substance of this update. The real magic of Audacity 4 lies beneath the surface.
It's in the code, in the logic, in the thoughtful redesign of workflows. It's in the moments where you realize you can do something faster, easier, and more intuitively than you ever could before. The hope, of course, is that Muse will take the feedback on the logo to heart. A strong brand identity can be a powerful asset.
And a logo that resonates with its community can foster a sense of belonging and pride. It's not about chasing trends, it's about creating a visual identity that accurately reflects the product's values and its users. Perhaps they'll consider a more iterative approach to branding, one that involves the community more directly.
Because, as we've seen with this update, the Audacity team clearly has a deep understanding of what their users need. It would be a shame to let a poorly chosen logo overshadow that. Ultimately, the story of Audacity 4, and its controversial rebrand, is a microcosm of a larger trend in software development.
In an age where user experience is paramount, and where even the most powerful tools need to be accessible, the focus is shifting from raw technical capability to the seamless integration of that capability into a user's workflow. The logo might be the first thing you see, but it's the smooth, intuitive, and powerful functionality that keeps you coming back.
And on that front, Audacity 4 is shaping up to be a resounding success, even if its initial handshake was a little awkward. It's a reminder that true innovation isn't always about the flashy new exterior, it's often about the robust, well-engineered engine humming quietly underneath. And that, my friends, is a story worth listening to.